In the South, it's always college football season, and the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Do you remember that Sugar Bowl? It's a pretty good chance you do. It is the Chuck Oliver Show on a Monday. And when I say, do you remember that Sugar Bowl? You can fill in the blank with a different game for everybody who's listening right now, or any of the games for anyone who is listening right now, depending on your age. We got a lot of play here, a lot of wiggle room. Maybe you are a Pitt fan or a Dan Marino fan, and so you remember that Sugar Bowl. Dan Marino in the 1982 Sugar Bowl, he threw a final-minute touchdown pass. It was about 50 yards to a guy, I think his name was Dave Brown. And Pitt, which was number two in America going into that game, good team, but they weren't as good as Georgia. Georgia was undefeated, and Georgia was about to win another national championship until Dan Marino threw a pass, covered about, I'm going to say, like 45, 50 yards. Touchdown, and Pittsburgh wins 24-20. If you're a Pitt fan or you're a Georgia fan of a certain age, you remember that Sugar Bowl. But I just said Georgia was ranked number two and potentially on the verge of winning another national championship. So, well, yeah, that was a huge game. You should remember that. But the truth is, you will remember Sugar Bowls for all manner of reasons. Most recently, we had, I don't know, 6-7 years ago. Do you remember Michigan and Virginia Tech playing in the Sugar Bowl? It was after the BCS happened, and you know, you would wind up with things like the Rose Bowl actually being played in Miami. Do you remember that year, USC and Iowa, which is a great Rose Bowl matchup? They actually played Miami in the Orange Bowl because the Rose Bowl was busy. It was hosting, I think, Miami and Nebraska, which is its own sort of weirdness in the Rose Bowl. Doesn't Miami and Nebraska actually remind you of an Orange Bowl? And so you should have juxtaposed those two, but you couldn't because it's about whose turn it was. So you may remember that Michigan-Virginia Tech Sugar Bowl. You may remember watching Louisville and Florida play a couple of years later. Maybe Ole Miss and Oklahoma State. I watched every second of that game. Even as recently as this past January 1st, Texas and Georgia. Remember that Sugar Bowl? See, the problem is, if you closed your eyes right now, and if you're listening to our, I mean, we know where we're on, from like Louisiana, Florida, upper, you hear me say it five times every single day. Draw a big circle around the south part of the country. You're going to find a Chuck Oliver Show affiliate. We're at 46 right now and got the confirmation, actually. We're 2 weeks away. We're adding another affiliate, which I'm really excited about the particulars of, and I will give you all those details when it becomes official. But if you listen to this program every day, you live in the South, unless you're listening on the app. If you're listening on the radio every day on a local affiliate, you live in the South, which means there's a pretty good chance, yeah, I remember that Sugar Bowl. And a lot of the Sugar Bowls you remember didn't necessarily have anything on the line, didn't necessarily have a national championship potentially on the line like Georgia and Pitt. Maybe it was Georgia and Texas. Maybe it was Oklahoma State and Ole Miss. Maybe it was Florida and Louisville. What a great game by Teddy Bridgewater. Oh my gosh, Charlie Strong got it done. Maybe it was Ohio State and Arkansas, and all you were watching was to see Petrino get it one last time. Maybe it was to see Jim Tressel get it and Terrell Pryor one last time. You talk about no absence of black hats that night. And I think it was like either a snap over the punter's head, or Ohio State blocked a punt and they recovered it. And so that's how, because Arkansas was going to win that ball game, and then they didn't. There was nothing on the line. You weren't advancing to anything. I'm going to open the curtains here. Our board op, our engineer, is a guy named David, and he's an Ohio State fan. And when I said, maybe you remember that Ohio State-Arkansas, when I said a snap over the punter's head, what I think I saw, David was about to hit the talk back where he can talk just in my ear, and he was about to actually give me the correct detail. Was it a block punt, David? Do you remember that? And Terrell Pryor, his final game before the suspension that never took place? See, that was January 4th, 2011, 8 years ago. Nothing on the line. You weren't advancing to anything, but it was still the Sugar Bowl. And he remembers. The tough part for every head coach today is the 18-year-old true freshman from Anniston, Alabama. He doesn't remember the Sugar Bowl or even care to. Time was, if you played in the SEC, certainly at a particular program, LSU, Bama, Florida, Georgia, etc., not at Kentucky, not in football. But time was, if you played in the SEC, anywhere you would think about the Sugar Bowl. If you played at a particular program, not Mississippi State or Ole Miss, but yes, to Auburn and Alabama. If you played in the Southeastern Conference at one of the have programs, your goal every year was to win a national championship every single season. But barring that, playing in the Sugar Bowl was the end of the rainbow. It's what you would cite years later, decades later, as I played in two Sugar Bowls at LSU or whatever. That's time was. Time today? We're talking with Tony Barnhart, good friend of mine, on Friday, and he had just written an article. Actually, it was a sit-down, a one-on-one interview with Kirby Smart that he was writing about. And part of Kirby's conversation with Tony was Kirby saying that he realized the different way he himself viewed playing in the Sugar Bowl when he was in college. And I think Kirby would have been a freshman either like maybe fall of 94 or fall of 95. Kirby's conversation with Tony was he says, we were in New Orleans all week. And as we were there, and certainly throughout game night, I realized that the way I viewed the Sugar Bowl when I was coming out of high school and first going to play football in the SEC, it was way different than how he saw his team staring at the field in New Orleans like it was just another patch of grass. Because that's what it was. We have turned. Now, again, progress, thumbs up. But in the category of unintended consequences, we have turned the college football regular season most years into a 13-week sprint to the playoffs. That's it. Nothing else matters. I told you that the mustard seed of this was actually in that 2011 season I was just talking about with Arkansas and Ohio State. That same exact season when LSU finished the regular season undefeated, number one in America, dispatched Georgia, just stepped on the gas in the second half of the SEC championship game, destroyed Georgia. I don't have the – it was like 42-13 maybe. Dan, check that. Just tore them apart. And close game at halftime. And it was one of the all-time great LSU teams. Southeastern Conference champs playing for the national title in New Orleans. I've never seen a single LSU fan anywhere with a 2011 SEC Championship bumper sticker, hoodie, T-shirt, whatever. When you're an LSU fan and you cite history, you cite something other than that 2011 SEC Championship. You know why? Because that was the year, specifically, that's when it started. Winning the SEC title, it just doesn't mean much anymore. Dan.
10-7 at the half, and remember the 7 for LSU was the punt return by Tyrann Mathieu, which if today by instant replay they had looked at it, it wouldn't have counted.
It would have been. Yep. What was the final score?
42-10.
42-10. Yeah, I said 42. So Georgia didn't scratch in the second half. Okay. Yeah. By the way, that punt return, that was another one of those. You get fan bases lose their mind all the time. They'd have called that correctly. And I offered on the air, because Dan's right. If you don't remember this, it was Honey Badger, just as he is almost in the end zone. He either does cross the line or he doesn't. Those are the only two choices. He also either lets go of the football before he crosses or he doesn't. I told Georgia fans, I was like, call me right now. I'll let it play out the way you want it to play out. Because the only choices was it was either a touchdown or it was an illegal forward pass if he drop the football and it actually goes forward, which would be LSU's ball at the spot minus a 5-yard penalty, or he dropped it backwards and it goes out of bounds and it's LSU ball at the 1. So there was no scenario where LSU wasn't going to get points there. They were either going to score on the punt return, they were going to score from the 1, or they were going to score from the 6. It's just like that block punt in the Alabama-Georgia game. You want the officials to do their job part of the way, but not all the way. Oh, we weren't offsides. Oh, yeah, but if they actually did their job, it would have been a motion penalty against Bama and still no block punt. So that's how it goes. But the 18-year-old true freshman, when he shows up in New Orleans, he stares around like this is just another game. And that started in 2011 with that LSU team. They didn't know it. I didn't. Nobody knew it. But there's your mustard seed. There is your genesis of why Kirby Smart this past January 1st is watching his team run around in New Orleans, and he's thinking, they don't get it. I would correct Kirby just one small amount and say it's not that they don't get it. It's just that they don't care. There was nothing out there. There was nothing beyond, and perspective and historical significance and panache and cachet, that really is not what today's 18, 19, 20-year-olds are about. And with Kirby Smart, for instance, grew up in a place called Bainbridge, Georgia. You grew up in Bainbridge, Georgia, and then you go play in Athens, and you're in the Southeastern Conference anytime before about the last, I don't know, 8 years, then yeah, making it to New Orleans, it was the end of the rainbow. It was a tremendous way. If we didn't win the national title, at least I'm playing in a Sugar Bowl, and that's how you can't spell sugar without UGA, and that's how you get all of those slogans and everything, because everybody knows that by golly, I didn't win a national title, but at least I played in a Sugar Bowl. And as Kirby found out, he ain't got one kid on that roster right now crowing about playing in a Sugar Bowl, because it's not that they don't get it. It's just that to them, it is just another game.
If you're between 50 and 85 and worried about your loved ones, you can still get affordable life insurance for peace of mind.
My life insurance coverage is guaranteed, and I was not required to get a medical exam.
I had high blood pressure and diabetes, and I got my coverage with one telephone call. No exam necessary.
I'm a smoker, and I wanted to take care of my family. I called to get my life insurance and my affairs in order. I wanted to do the right thing.
Call Final Expense No Exam Insurance. Your rates are guaranteed. Guaranteed and will never increase.
I called and learned that this insurance cannot be canceled, even if you get sick or gain weight.
And there are no restrictions on how my beneficiaries use the money when I'm gone.
Don't wait until it's too late. Call now and get peace of mind for you and your family. Call 800-446-3379. 800-446-3379. 800-446-3379. 800-446-3379.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 877-477-6061. 877-477-6061. 877-477-6061.
Hey, is that a faucet running?
Nope, that's not a faucet. That's a river rushing through the forest.
It is?
Yeah, forest rivers provide over 100 million people with clean water to drink. The water comes straight from the forest to us, in fact.
What? I can't hear you because of the vacuum.
That's not a vacuum. That's the trees in the forest cleaning up the air we breathe.
How do trees clean the air?
They soak up the dirty air on their leaves, branches, and trunks, which means clean air for us.
Hmm, cool. I didn't know that.
Yep, but the forest does more than give us clean air and water. It gives us shade for hot days, birds to listen to, and trees to climb.
Wow, that's awesome. I didn't know how cool the forest could be. Hey, let's go explore some more.
Visit the forest today and enjoy all it does just for you. To learn more about the forest and find one near you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Ah. Psst,
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Now back to the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Show today, guest-wise, coming up in about 10 minutes, my good friend Heath Klein from 107.5 The Game in Columbia, South Carolina, sister station with our Columbia affiliate up yonder. He's coming on to talk Gamecocks as they are, say, about seven practices through spring practice right now. In hour two, Dean Leggy from dogpost.com going to come on as Georgia. They checked in today. They got measured and weighed and all that stuff, and they'll hit the practice field for the first time tomorrow in Athens. And then bottom of hour two, Graham Hall going to talk Gators as they're doing what everybody else is, hitting the practice field, trying to get ready for the 2019 season. Dan Matthews is going to come in just a minute. But I think we're done with context in Athens, Georgia. I was just talking about Kirby Smart and his one-on-one with Tony Barnhart. We interviewed Tony on Friday after he'd come out. And there was part that, not anything Kirby said, but this is 100% on him. There was something that Tony wrote sort of as the introduction to this piece. And it's impressive on the face. Here's a quote from Tony introducing his solo, his one-on-one sit-down with Kirby Smart. Georgia's five losses in 2 years have been to number 1, number 4, number 10, number 13, and number 15. And by the way, none of those were on Georgia's home field. So Georgia has five losses the past 2 years, two in 17 and then three last year. Five losses, number 1 Alabama, number 4 Alabama, number 10 Auburn on the road, 13 LSU on the road, number 15 Texas in the Sugar Bowl in New Orleans. That's impressive. When you play at the level Georgia does in a unbelievably competitive conference like the SEC, beyond impressive. And going forward, it's as irrelevant as what the pregame meal might have been for each of those Saturdays. When you say we have lost five games total over the past 2 years in Athens, at least as of today, you can say, and those five losses were 1, 4, 10, 13, and 15. And none of them were on our home field. They were in enemy territory or on a neutral site. Wow, that's impressive. If you say we've lost five games the past 2 years in Tuscaloosa, you know what the response is? What the heck are you doing losing five games? We lost five games the past 2 years in Columbus. Why are you losing five games? You think Dabo has any interest in explaining exactly why the five losses over the last two seasons aren't really that bad? Dabo's like, five losses, did they fire me? Georgia has reached the point, and by the way, credit to Kirby, but Georgia has reached the point where context does not matter. Hey, we lost, but look, it was to number 1. Credit to Kirby for not only doing exactly what he was hired to do, which is win more than 10 games, but in such short order. Cannot say it enough. Now he just has to do that exact same thing again, except what he was hired to do is not just win the SEC East, win an SEC championship, get to the playoffs. It's to win a national championship. So it's the nature of coaching, especially in college, especially in football and the SEC. It's a moving target. So pat on the back. Awesome, Kirby. Glad you did all of this. Now start racking up national championships like they're cordwood. That's what you need to do next. Dan Matthews, how are you?
I got bad news for people who want something to change in college football. And it happened this just this past week up in Nashville. The SEC presidents voted, and one of the discussion points this week when they met was the college football playoff, mm-hmm. and to no surprise, they're sticking with the status quo. They decided, let's just keep it at four. That's what we're in support of, and that's what we're going to throw it to. Harris Pastides told 247sports.com, and that is the South Carolina school president, voted yesterday to support the four-team playoff. We think it's working fairly well. Some fans, of course, want eight. Others want 16. If you go to 16, people want 32. Mainly, this is based on player welfare. At this time of year, after playing a rugged season, the last thing these great student-athletes need is to play yet another football game.
Ooh, question.
Oh, please, yes. Yes,
is that sort of like a key to the city? Like, their vote is just symbolic? Or is there anything
I think there is a little bit of symbolism to it, for sure. But
it's
also
not a procedural thing. Like, they don't get to vote. Like, if they voted to change it to six, we'd still have four, right?
But also, though, too, I mean, let's be honest here. The SEC leads the way on a lot of things because of how much money they bring in and how much influence they have in just the overall structure of Power Five conferences, that if they say something and they do something like the autonomy topic a few years ago, that's why you saw at the time Mike Slive was so vocal about it, is because Mike Slive said, we're the SEC, I can say things like this and people will either follow us or they'll be against us. But for the most part, though, there ain't going to be many people against us.
Yeah, it's almost like when Walmart comes to town. That's sort of the SEC, that you know it's the best of the best. You're going to have great prices and all the products you want, but you also know it's a giant evil company that puts the smaller guys out of business. That's my personal opinion. I don't know. Do I need to get a Shinar on this? I'm allowed to give an opinion, right?
Yeah, if you caveat it with an opinion, yes.
I think Walmart's a giant evil company that puts others out of business. And I still shop there because I love the products and I love the prices. That's kind of like the SEC. I understand what they do to Group of Five programs, but if this is more of a symbolic vote, then I'm just not going to pay much attention to it.
Attention.
Do you have chronic back pain, knee pain, or arthritis? If you have Medicare or private insurance like Aetna, UnitedHealthcare, Humana, or Blue Cross, you may qualify for a safe, drug-free remedy for your everyday back and knee pain, but you must call now. You may be eligible for a pain-relieving back or knee brace at little or no cost to you. These pain relief braces are ideal for back pain, arthritis, sciatica, leg pain, knee pain, and other painful conditions that make life difficult. Our associates will work directly with Medicare or your insurance company for free. Your knee or back brace will be delivered directly to your door. Imagine playing with your grandkids or enjoying tennis or golf again. Call the National Knee and Back Brace Center to qualify for your Medicare or insurance-covered knee or back brace.
Call 800-301-6087, 800-301-6087, 800-301-6087.
Uber has been doing a ton of great things this last year, and Uber Rewards is going to make you love Uber even more. With Uber Rewards, you'll get rewarded for things you're already doing. Every eligible dollar you spend on rides and Uber Eats earns you points that unlock amazing benefits, like Uber Cash, complimentary surprise upgrades, flexible cancellations, and so much more. Your life is about to get more rewarding thanks to Uber. Get all the info and terms at uber.com/rewards. That's uber.com/rewards.
This is James Laura, managing partner of Alexander Shannara & Associates. As a fan of college football, you know the Southeast is filled with teams who excel at and are serious about their craft. The same can be said about our firm's legal team. With offices in five states, including Atlanta, Georgia, our local teams of all-star attorneys are here to serve you. Whether you've been involved in a motor vehicle accident or hurt by a defective product or drug, at Alexander Shannara & Associates, we prove it. Visit us online today at alexandershannara.com.
This is Nnamdi Asamoah. I play football for the Philadelphia Eagles, but what I do off the field with United Way might be more important. I'm a volunteer tutor and mentor. Why? Because over a million kids a year drop out of school, and that's not okay. It takes 12 years to create a graduate, but it takes about the same time to create a dropout. And the difference between a child becoming one or the other could be me, or it could be you. Studies show that if we get to these kids earlier, their chances are better. And kids who read well by third grade are more likely to graduate. So join me in United Way. Suit up and take the pledge. Become a volunteer reader, tutor, or mentor. Because when a child succeeds, we all succeed. Give Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Take the pledge at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way, the Ad Council, and the National Football League.
Dickey Broadcasting is a proud supporter of the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. And through programs like Team and Training, the Society helps over 3,000 athletes a year accomplish their goal of training and completing an endurance event, including marathons, triathlons, and cycling events. The Team and Training program is open for everyone and has raised almost $1 billion to fund leukemia and lymphoma research since its inception. Visit teamandtraining.org/GA and hit the Tell Me More button. Help save lives 1 mile at a time.
Jill, why don't you tell the class what you did this weekend?
Well, my dad and I went in search of some magical minnows and found a zillion of them in the stream from our lookout rock. Then my sister and I escaped from an evil slug king and went back to my super twig fort for safety. Then we told stories till it got dark, and the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Wow. Where were you, Jill?
We went to the forest. It's not that far away.
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Catch the king of college football no matter where you go with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
If we get in the DeLorean and go back to... oh, gosh, the early 00s, I believe. South Carolina football practice right across the street from the stadium. And if you were there in, like, spring or August when Lou Holtz was the head coach, I mean, it was everything but gun towers set up around practice. And I've gotten real good at sneaking peeks at closed practices, but that even cured me. So I don't know how it is now, but I do know that when Will Muschamp in South Carolina announced that their spring practice schedule, they said that spring practice was going to start on February 27th. They've been going for a couple of weeks. And that they will have their spring game, I believe, is going to be on April 6th. Other than April 6th, nothing is open to the public. Now, I don't know if that means media as well. Usually when they let the media in, if they do, then it's you get to see specialty period, which is stretching and kickers and punters. And then they blow an air horn and you see that like they're going to period three and everybody has to leave. So that's my understanding of close to the public is, yeah, they lump the media in there as well. But we're going to find out right now. A good friend of mine who hosts Afternoon Drive on the South Carolina Gamecocks flagship station, 107.5 The Game up yonder in Columbia. It is Heath Klein. Heath, welcome back. How are you?
Hey, Chuck, how you doing? And, yeah, you pretty much nailed it. We got all the groin stretches that you need. But other than that, there's very little firsthand evidence of South Carolina football until that final game there.
Tell me you at least saw a toe touching a football. Like, you got to see the punters and kickers even?
You know, I don't even know if we've gotten one of that. I have not seen that personally,
wow.
But I'd have to verify whether or not someone else has gotten to witness the excitement of a punt in March to get a feel for where things may stand for the fall.
And we actually talked to Coach Muschamp last maybe Tuesday or Wednesday on an off day, and I was looking at the wrong dates there because they practiced at that point 4 or 5 times. Heath, I want to ask you about the quarterback battle, because is there a quarterback battle? I know that when we have essentially a returning fourth-year starter and a senior and a kid that, you know, halfway through his freshman year, he's going to be the starter. He's going to be the guy. Walk me through the rest of the room.
Yeah, I think you certainly have a question between DeCarrion Joyner and the young man in Ryan Linsky that comes in that now is the future hope for a lot of fans. You know, Joyner is a guy that's an excellent athlete, but last year in the spring game when we saw him, the accuracy was not very good. Now, supposedly they've been working on that. Maybe there's progress. So a lot of us will be very curious to see comparatively in the spring game what he looks like. But everything you've heard about Linsky is that he's a very natural leader type and that he's got the physical tools to do whatever you need him to do. So, yeah, certainly it would be a real surprise if Jake Bentley did not finish out the season as the starting quarterback, barring an injury. But how they choose to use backups, if they use them, is going to be one of the storylines of this year. I think a lot of us really thought, Chuck, that we would see Joyner because if nothing else, we know he has good legs. And so, you know, maybe you use him in a wildcat package or something like that. We really did not see them take advantage last year at all of the four games that you could play a kid without blowing his red shirt. Yeah, I think in a bowl game where you're down three touchdowns and it's obvious that nothing much is happening, you know, you think, hey, if nothing else, maybe put him in there, let him run a series, see what happens. And we really saw them do very little to get him game experience and develop him, even in an Akron game that, again, was just a slog and nothing's going on and Akron couldn't score if you gave him another 60 minutes of football. You know, why not give him a series or two? And he said, well, we're worried it was raining and we didn't want to take the risk of a fumble. It's like, really? I mean, the developmental value of one series was so minor that the risk of a fumble was going to kill you. It was weird. They just didn't seem, at least publicly, they've done very little to seem committed to the idea that they think Joyner long-term is a guy. So I think most people believe it's Linsky's to take, but of course, he's a freshman, so you got to see whether he can actually take it.
He's not the only early enrollee. In fact, you know, you get a four-star quarterback coming across America to play at South Carolina. That's big news, but there's a five-star defensive lineman, Zach Pickens, who was also an early enrollee. Any early whispers or impressions about Zach Pickens? Because, again, as you've established, no one gets to watch practice.
Yeah, there's been a little bit of positive stuff said. I mean, honestly, the biggest value of spring practice for us, Chuck, is that we get to talk to the assistant coaches because Muschamp doesn't allow them to talk at all in the fall. We get one crack at him in the spring, and we may get another crack at him in the fall, and that's it. So to hear from the defensive coaches about how anybody's doing, not just Pickens, is kind of a rare commodity. And so far the feedback's been good. But again, you know, we're talking five practices here. So unless he came out and, like, didn't know how to tie his shoes correctly and ran into the goalpost, it would be hard to imagine you get really bad feedback. But they seem to like what they've seen early.
If we talk about a couple of guys who at least, you know, could have explored turning pro, Brian Edwards is one guy I want to talk about because I know by the stopwatch and the measuring tape, I mean, I think that kid would have looked great up in Indianapolis a couple of weeks ago. But I'm also glad that he decided to return to college and play, you know, one more year of football. Tell me what the next step is for Brian Edwards. What's possible for him?
Yeah, the thing with Edwards is he's a guy I think could really still help himself. He's never going to run a blazing 40. I mean, he's not a plotter, but he's not a guy who's going to go up there and run some time that makes all the scouts say, whoa, look at that, and, you know, moves way up the draft board. That's not who he's going to be. What he is, though, is a guy who's a good physical player when it comes to going up and getting the ball. He's not up. He could be more consistent as a catcher. He's not perfect at that, but he certainly has shown very good hands and a knack for making difficult catches. And so tighten that up a little bit. I think it's going to be very interesting to see how he handles being the number one receiving option this year. You know, you got a guy in Shai Smith that I think certainly is a very dangerous player, and we'll see him benefit from some of the things that Deebo Samuel no longer is there to do. Smith is a guy you will think will take on more of that. And then you also look at Ortre Smith, who didn't play last year because of a knee issue, but was a guy that they really liked his first year, another bigger guy. So you've got three receivers that are dangerous to deal with for the opponents, but everybody now in the passing game, their number one thing they're going to look to take away, you would expect, would be Brian Edwards. So last year that was more of a half and half with him and Samuel. I think it'll be interesting to see how he handles the challenge of being the clear-cut number one guy now.
If we look over on the defensive line, you know, DJ Wanham is a guy that I tough is the number one word that comes to mind. And if you ask me for another one, I'm probably going to say tough. Not necessarily explosive or electric or whatever, but he's the kind of guy you can win with. Is there a next step for him? Is there a next level that he's capable of as far as screaming off the edge and getting nine sacks?
Yeah, I think he could be better in part because of what you mentioned with Zach Pickett. I think they have better personnel as they continue to develop guys, as they continue to recruit guys, better personnel, which means if Wanham can just stay healthy, which was the big issue for him last year, he wasn't able to be healthy for the vast majority of the season. But if he could stay healthy, he has more people that will help him on the team and make it a little harder for teams to just focus on him being the primary guy you take away. You know, him and also a healthy Javon Kinlaw makes a giant difference too. Kinlaw is such a force when he's out there, but again, got to get him healthy and back on the field. He's a guy that also can really play for, I think, a possibility of being a first, second round guy if he has the kind of year for 12 games that he's physically capable of. So I think part of it is what Wonnum can do, but part of it also is just getting more one-on-one matchup opportunities than he was going to get last year, even when he was healthy.
If we wrap up with just the general state of the program, for a reason that I cannot recall right now, I was going through South Carolina's bowl history last week, and I think I saw that until the 84 Gator Bowl, they had only played in two games, and they didn't win a single bowl game until the 94, maybe CarQuest Bowl. So
the CarQuest Bowl lives forever, Chuck. It's the first bowl win. It's the only place in the world that bowl's remembered is Columbia, South Carolina.
And so as Spurrier said in his first SEC media days, and this is the quote, our history hasn't been so super-duper. If you look at Will Muschamp, 22 wins his first 3 years. That's more dubs than any other coach in South Carolina school history in their first 3 years. It doesn't feel that way to me, though. Give me the download for me the general feel from the fan base right now, because this is, I mean, by numbers, it's the best 3 year start we've had. But I look at it, and all I could think at the end of last year was there should be more right now.
I think it's a combination of a couple of things. One, look, the reality is that as long as what's going on in the upstate continues, fans are going to be chapped. There's no question about it. If Will Muschamp had a normal Clemson team that's good enough to make bowls but didn't win a single conference championship for basically 20 years there, you know, if you could have that Clemson back, then it would be very different. But you got simultaneously Clemson doing what they're doing, and until this past year, Muschamp hadn't been able to even compete at all with Clemson, and even in that game, they still wound up losing by 20 at the end. But you look at it, in the first 2 years, they just got their doors completely blown off. So you've got that, and then you've got that you've been able to win mostly the games you're supposed to win. But what you haven't been able to do yet with consistency is even particularly compete well with the games you're not supposed to win. And that's where things have got to change. Like, it's one thing if you can't beat Georgia this year, but it's another thing if you can't compete with Georgia where your fans feel like they're in the game at the half even. That's the kind of thing that he's got to continue to make progress on. People don't appreciate how good a job he did his first year, Chuck. This place, I mean, he took over nothing. But because he did as well as he did first year, I don't think people have valued it enough. And then, well, you know, okay, so you can get to mediocre bowls. Getting to a mediocre bowl that first year was a borderline miracle. But it's not appreciated enough because he did too well early and he didn't poor mouth his team enough. So that maybe is a tactical error that Muschamp, in retrospect, maybe wishes he'd made a bigger deal of it at the time. But they got to find a way to win a ranked game. They haven't won one since Tennessee in his first year. Beat somebody bigger. That's the biggest thing that he could do to just improve the mood. There's this feeling that there's 21 wins, but they're kind of lower calorie wins. And you know, give me a stake here. Give me something I can really stick a flag in the ground and brag about. And he just hasn't had that yet. I think he needs it soon to kind of make the fans feel a little bit better about where things are.
So nothing has changed then. You still, if it's a closed practice, then you just kind of wait until practice is over. There is no great angle. You haven't found the great place to slip in a view?
No, I mean, it's spring, so even if you did, I mean, heck, so many guys aren't even out there. That's the thing. Between the kids that are coming in that are going to make an impact and the guys that are limited in what they can do or aren't even out there at all. I mean, honestly, even when we can't watch the whole spring game, how much we're going to get out of it is an open question. You know, there's some kids that you hear good things about. Kevin Harris, I know somebody Will Muschamp mentioned with you, the freshman running back. I've heard some positive things on him, so I'm curious to get a look at him. Certainly Helinski, but honestly, this is not – we're not going to learn a ton about these guys in spring. Even if they did let us come out there, we're not going to learn a ton about them right now. It's going to be – when those bodies are back on the field in the fall, how much can they help and what are they doing?
All right, well, there's a chance I won't be up there for the spring game, so I expect you to direct me to Bojangles somewhere, okay?
We got you 2 blocks down the street, Chuck.
All right, Heath. Always appreciate it, brother. Thank you.
All right, man.
All right, Heath Klein from 107.5 The Game there in Columbia. And if you go to the if you ever go to the spring game or any of the regular season games there, it's a great environment. A lot of it is the fan base. It's a cool-looking stadium, especially at night, and the lights, and starts moving back and forth, and it really does actually move back and forth. It's a fun place to go, but you also got to make sure you get to Bojangles on the way there. And the great thing, you get into South Carolina or North Carolina, I mean, you can't go 5 minutes in any direction without finding a Bojangles. So that potentially is my April 6th. Still sketching those things out as we get into spring games actually being played. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Come back, Rapid Power 1 next.
If pointed at the sun, a mirror's reflection is too brilliant to look at directly. It pointed at darkness, the same mirror reflects only darkness. The power is in where the mirror is positioned. In the same way, God's Word calls us image bearers of God. When our hearts are pointed at Him, we can reflect God's glory and brilliance. God's Word says that mankind is created in God's image. This means that every person of every race has the potential to reflect the character and nature of God. But with each selfish action or acts of violence towards one another, we dishonor the image of God in that person and in ourselves. What if we viewed each person who crossed our path as an image bearer of God? Would that change how we interact? What if looking in the mirror, we saw ourselves as created in God's image? How would that change your own perception? We're all mirroring something or someone. Who are you reflecting? This is Bryant Wright, speaking right from my heart.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called The Tax Doctor. And The Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less. 800-262-4182. 800-262-4182. That's 800-262-4182.
Hey, Russell Wilson here, and I know how important exercise is.
It's essential. It's essential.
With Play 60, United Way and the NFL are helping kids stay active and play at least 60 minutes a day.
Healthy kids.
But what this place needs is you. To donate or volunteer, go to unitedway.org/play60 because great things happen when we live united.
Donate.
Are you guys going to do that every time?
Yes, of course.
Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
My name is Dale Pazinski. I'm 19 years old, and this is how I live united. I've always been kind of a computer geek, and I found a way to use those skills to help the homeless in my community. For people facing hard times, computer skills and a basic resume are so important. It may seem like a small thing, but it makes a huge difference in people's lives. So with United Way, I created a program where I work with the homeless. Together, we go through their whole job history, write a resume, and then save it on their very own USB drive. We provide workbooks and training certificates. I even budgeted for cupcakes so we can celebrate as a class when one of our people gets a job. That's huge. When somebody says, "Hey man, that job that you helped me apply for, I got it." That's what living united feels like to me. My name is Dale Pazinski. I help people achieve financial independence. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is John Ondrasik of Five for Fighting, here for RAD, the entertainment industry's voice for road safety. You know, style is a personal thing, and your lifestyle is your business. But if you take it on the road, it becomes everybody's business. So please, plan ahead, designate before you celebrate. Friends, don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by RAB, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
More college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Chuck Oliver Show continues on a Monday. Appreciate Heath Klein joining us from 107.5 The Game in Columbia. This is funny. He just texted me during the commercial break. Said, happy to have you come over for the game. Why on earth would you? Apparently, he's not expecting the curtains to be open very much. I'm going to let y'all see everything. And I texted back. It's like, tour stop, man. I love being in Columbia. It's a fun place to go to a ball game, even one that doesn't count. So I still working on my schedule, and it's only, what, two weekends from now, so we'll figure it out and let everybody know where we're going to be. But plus, when you get there on site, you just have access to you know, the conversations, whether it's in the press box with somebody. There's very little, I'll put it that way, I'd about to say nothing, there's very little that will match the value of sitting in a press box next to somebody that you have a relationship with, but maybe only see him three times a year, and he or she covers this team, this program, 8 days a week, all year long. Just pick the brain and do a lot of listening, a lot of value there. Now, there's more value than, you know, when you're on the field pregame and you talk to the coaches. Hey, I was looking at the depth chart. Why is this linebacker not in the game? Because coaches will tell you all kinds of things. Here's the two best times. Either the walkthrough the day before the game, and sometimes that's a Thursday, sometimes it's a Friday, but the walkthrough before the game is what you really want. Because that's sort of a loose 45-minute sort of practice where the coaches are just making sure everybody remembers to raise their hand at the right time. First-team defense, first-team punt team, PAT field goal block, and you make sure you got 11 guys out there. Coaches stand there for 45 minutes. They'll tell you all kinds of outlandish stuff. So that's the best time. But then pregame when they first come out of the tunnel. So that is at the top of the ladder, talking to the head coach for 45 minutes on the field. Do you understand why that would be number one? Not too far below that, though. The beat reporter, he or she is on the scene every day. Cannot get enough of it. There is something I'm going to talk about when we get to CFB 365, but I want to mention it now. Lynn Swann, who was hired by his alma mater, Southern Cal, about 3 years ago. That's when Pat Hayden was retiring. Lynn Swann, who is a former USC receiver back in the early 70s, won a national championship there in 1972. Lynn Swann, who then won 1, 2, 3, 4 Super Bowls with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And honestly, he had good speed. He was not a big receiver, but he had good speed. He was a great 1970s NFL receiver. Like, honestly, you could lead your team in receiving with 44 catches for like 712 yards. And that would be good to put you at the top of the ladder. So that's what he was. And he won 4 Super Bowls, and if they would have thrown the ball more, he would have caught more, and he wound up in the Hall of Fame. So that's Lynn Swann, and now he is 70 or so. Actually, he's 67, sorry. 67 years old, and he is the athletic director at his alma mater, USC. He is speaking to the Los Angeles Times about the scandal that Southern Cal and a lot of other schools, a lot of other individuals got caught up in last week with the rich people paying to get their kids into college. Now, I'm going to step back here and say I realize now I was probably raised in middle class pushing to upper middle class. Working. We were always middle class, but we were working. We were trying. Those Olivers got a good work ethic. So whatever was possible for a middle-class family in, you know, Georgia in the 80s, that's what we were. Is it really a surprise? Was it as big a clutch-the-pearls moment as we saw last week? Rich people pull strings to get their kids into fancy schools? Is that really news? Didn't we all know that's gone on forever and ever, amen? Now, it becomes a legal matter. It becomes felonious when, for instance, you not just a rich person and you're calling in a favor. Hey, you know what? I own this country club and we hosted your daughter's wedding reception, so get my son into school. When it goes beyond that to I'll give you $500,000 in cash if you will classify my child as a volleyball player and recruit her and put her on scholarship at Southern Cal. That's what we need, because she can't get in with the regular gen pop requirements, the student population, what you just have to have if you're a regular kid coming out of high school. She can't hack it. But you relax standards for scholarship athletes. There are folks who didn't know that happened. Do you remember Paul Hornig about 10 years ago? When he got himself in deserved trouble for saying that Notre Dame needed to lower their standards for scholarship athletes, because Notre Dame doesn't do that. They get creative in, you know, funneling you to your major and your class load. But if you're a scholarship athlete at a place like Southern Cal, it doesn't take as much to get in. So you talk to the admissions director. I'll give you $500,000 to get my daughter in. Can't help you. She doesn't have the grades or the test scores. Okay, what about if she were a volleyball player? Oh, that's different. Does she play volleyball? No. Let me talk to the coach. You got $500,000? All right. $250 to him, $250 to me. Your darling daughter is now on scholarship at Southern Cal as, I don't know, water polo or volleyball or whatever. That's how this worked, folks. Lynn Swan, quote, I think everybody was blindsided by this. I wasn't. Rich person pulling strings to get son or daughter into school. I thought that always. And by the way, after they're done pulling strings to get the kid in school, do you know what happens 4 years later? They pull strings to get the kid a job. I did not come from the kind of family where, you know, I could spread my dad's name around like butter and have it open doors. Not with complete stranger. People who knew him, totally different. Lynn Swan, I think everybody was blindsided by this. No, we weren't. The fact that it was a senior member of the staff and also our men's and women's head water polo coach, these are people that have been here a long time, people who have been here during difficult times. Everyone was completely shocked, caught off guard, taken by surprise. That's not true. It actually takes senior members of the staff to make this happen. He says, quote, we're going to work with the university to implement a better system. Now, this is the part that really surprised me. Moving forward, when a list of names is being put forward, like who we're going to recruit at a high school, the coach will see it, the lead recruiter will see it, an administrator will see it, and we'll make sure others see it so we know these are real student athletes that we're trying to get. Are you kidding me? You just had to have an athletic director actually say that? Hey, going forward, we're going to put checks and balances to make sure that kids getting a scholarship to play athletics actually play athletics. Going forward, I promise you, you have an athletic director, again, not at Northwest whatever state. You got an AD at a place like Southern Cal. You have a guy like Lynn Swan going, hey, going forward, here's my promise. We're going to double check to make sure every kid getting an athletic scholarship actually plays that sport. Well, thank you, Lynn. I can release the pearls now, I guess. The fact that he actually had to say that.
Debt reduction depends on creditors' balances and payments, client testimonials, or dramatizations.
If you owe $10,000 in credit card debt and your minimum payments siphon away your paycheck each month, you can get debt-free in less time than you think.
I've paid $800 a month for the past 3 years and haven't changed the balance on my credit card.
Get debt-free now has a program to reduce your debt, stop the harassing phone calls, avoid financial ruin, and settle for less than you owe.
I feel like a huge weight has been lifted off my shoulders.
You're pre-approved for our special hardship program if you owe $10,000 or more. Call Get Debt Free now to resolve your debt once and for all.
My family no longer has 20 years of payments ahead of us at 20% interest.
There's no fees until you see results. Make one monthly program payment and free up your cash. Call 800-834-2933. 800-834-2933. 800-834-2933.
Attention timeshare owners. This is an urgent consumer alert from Resort Release, a national company specializing in helping consumers legally get out of their expensive timeshare contract. Resort Release is offering a Better Business Bureau accredited way to legally get rid of your timeshare guaranteed. With our guarantee and transfer service, you'll never pay another timeshare maintenance bill again, and your contract will be terminated. You can begin saving today, even if you've tried another company to get rid of your timeshare. Call and see if we can help. At Resort Release, we only accept payment after an agreement has been made to get you out of your timeshare. Make this completely free call and learn how this honest Midwest-based company can help anyone, anywhere, legally get out of their timeshare nightmare guaranteed. Call right now to qualify and receive a free consultation.
800-712-8005. 800-712-8005. 800-712-8005. That's 800-712-8005.